listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, as we're heading into Thanksgiving week. I am Michael Sterling.
And I'd like to be under the sea.
You would?
Preferably in an octopus's garden,
yeah.
But most assuredly in the shade. That's
really?
What I would like to do.
Now, that
yes.
sounds like something that you might have pulled a little quote from.
It is. That's the Beatles song, Octopus's Garden.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I
want to throw you with
Disney
my pop
thing.
Culture references there. Oh, no, you're thinking Under the Sea from
yeah.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Under
that's
the
what
Sea.
I'm thinking.
That Sebastian the Crab sang.
Yeah.
That's the difference between you and me, Michael. I have Beatles references. You have Little Mermaid references.
Well, let's not make it so specific. Disney references, perhaps.
Yes, thank you. Yes, Disney okay. references. Yes,
go.
Yes. Well, delighted to be here.
Well, yeah, indeed. And, you know, we're always delighted to be here, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, for letting us be here, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, please visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar.
Join us, Paul, in studio. Joining? Did I even get the word out?
Joining?
Joining
yes.
us in studio today.
Uh-huh.
Is the beautiful and fascinating Pro-Am champion ballroom dancer turned singer Lynn Stanley, who will be making her debut at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City this coming weekend. Welcome to State of the Arts, Lynn.
Thank you.
Goodness.
Oh, wow.
They're amped up out there.
Or figure that she's used to the applause.
Indeed.
And I was all excited. You said that she's a dancer. I thought the first time we're going to have a dancing competition on the radio. I think it's about the time for that.
Yeah,
don't
be,
you think?
If they can do it on TV, we can do it on the radio, right?
Yes. Well, delighted to talk to Lynn. And you're right. She raises the attractiveness level of the studio by about 300%.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, and we'll be talking at length with Lynn in the show just a little bit later. But
right.
She'll be with us through all of the first portion.
Hey, yes.
Paul, how was your week?
My week was very good. I had Monica and I went to this fundraiser for this group, and I tell you, you know, you always hear about all these things with the after-school programs, and you really wonder what they actually do. You hear about after-school
yeah.
programs, and we went to a fundraiser for this thing called LACER After School Programs, and LACER stands for Literacy, Arts, Culture, Education, and Recreation, and it was an unbelievable experience for us. We had a great time, and the kids were just phenomenal. It was like a live performance of Glee up there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but Glee and Dancing with the Stars and So You Think You Can Dance. It was
wow.
like all together. It was a fascinating. It was at the Music Box right on Hollywood.
Wow.
And
okay.
Just a little bit of background on LACER. They provide underserved public school students with arts and literacy-based after-school programs in a safe and caring environment. By allowing young people the opportunity to improve their skills and develop new ones, LACER fosters scholastic achievement, self-confidence, and good citizenship. And I tell you, it was evident on that stage. The talent was unbelievable, and the sense of community was great. I want to just give a shout-out for them because they really deserve your support. Their website is LACER Stars, LACER, L-A-C-E-R, Stars, as in stars in the sky, .org. Great organization. They
nice.
Do phenomenal work, and they deserve all of the support they can get. So
the kids were from what ages to what age?
They were high school, I think middle and high school age, but the schools that were represented were Bancroft, Irving, King, and LeConte middle schools, and Fairfax and Hollywood high schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both middle schools and high schools.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, the talent level was bordering on, I mean, it looked professional. They were just astounding and wonderful event, and
that's awesome.
Nice shout out
and maybe Glee has something to do with those kinds of things indirectly.
Yeah,
know?
No, Monica said the same thing.
Yeah.
It sort of encourages that sort of creative thought and that creative process, and the fact that you're not like I was in high school, you're not an outcast if you're interested in those things,
right.
you know? Really, they were great. But we're going to be talking to one of the things we should be saying that shortly we're going to have...
Yeah, I understand. I understand that someone like a religious experience.
Yes, a religious experience.
Come upon us here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right time
we're
of the year,
call,
but it's not even Christmas yet.
It's not Christmas, but it's going to be religious. We're going to be talking to Well, Sister Bernadette Wojciechowska-Konietzki. Now, I'm not sure if I have the name right, but and I'm sure that she will be ready to correct me if I don't. Yeah. No, Sister Bernie is from St. Dymphna's Parish in Chicago.
St. Dymphna's?
St. Dymphna. Yeah, she'll believe me. She'll tell you who St. Dymphna is because I will get it wrong.
I'm a good Catholic boy. And
are
so,
you?
And I guess Lynn is certainly a good Catholic girl.
Lynn, are you Catholic as well?
Indeed.
Are you? Okay.
Well, have you ever heard of that saint?
No.
She's an actual patron saint, Irish patron saint,
actually.
So we're going to learn something.
we missed
that one.
Sister Bernie. You know what? Why don't we just, Moreno. Should we just call Bernie? Let's call Bernie.
Call her.
Yeah.
Yes,
she's
call
got
the dear sister.
I don't want to speak for her. Let's give her a ring. We'll call her here and we'll see if she picks up. And put on your seatbelts because sister can be a little bit.
We've been there.
Hello.
This is State of the Arts in Los Angeles. We're looking for a Sister Bernie Wojciechowska-Konietzki. Do I have that right?
No. I'll spell that again. I'll say that for you again, and then maybe you can repeat it a few times before you get it straight.
Okay.
It's Sister Bernadette Wojciechowska-Konietzki.
Wojciechowska-Konietzki.
Yeah, write that down.
Okay. Wojciechowska-Konietzki. Okay, I'm writing it down, Sister Bernie.
Right, there you go.
Okay, Sister, I have a question for you because we were just discussing St. Dymphna here in the studio, and I know that your church was called St. Dymphna, and this wasn't an actual saint, was it?
Yes, it is. St. Dymphna is a patron saint of mental disorders and a favorite of mine.
I see.
I really do. She has quite a life, she has quite a life story. It started with her crazy father, and it's quite an epic story.
It is.
You said you're from Los Angeles, am I correct?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
You know, we're coming there.
Yes, no, but that's...
We're going to be coming there.
I wanted to talk to you. You're on this sort of traveling mission, and is it because of... Are you raising funds for St. Dymphna? How does this work?
Well, we're running this fabulous bingo game. It was doing great. We were doing really good. And somehow, a few things went wrong. Next thing you know, the Archdiocese has got us out on the street. We have nowhere to go. So we've been just kind of going from church to church, place to place, and any place that would have us come in and play bingo.
Okay.
And it's been working out very well so far.
It's been working out great.
Sometimes.
Oh, sometimes.
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes, Father Chuck is already out on the road before us heading that way.
Oh, okay.
And, the last time he was on the road, it was a mess. He went out to Ohio and found some place, called back and said, come out here. So what do I, Charisse and I hop in the car and get out there, and he's got us at some church or place. I said, what is the name of this place? Where are we going? He says, I don't know. It's called the All-Inclusive Non-Denominational Assembly of I Don't Feel Like Getting Up on Sunday.
Now, how did they fit all of that on the marquee? That's what I want to know.
Well, they didn't. They put it right on the cross. Can you imagine? He didn't even know how to read it. And he thinks every time he sees a cross, we're in. It's not like that anymore.
It's not like that.
You gotta know where you're going. You gotta know what to do. I'm telling you. So it's kind of tough to send him.
So now that
place that you live is quite a place too, that Los Angeles.
Yes, and you mentioned a Sister Charisse. So now it's you, it's Father Chuck, who is the priest, and then Sister Charisse is another nun who does the bingo show with
you? Yes, she's a novice. She's just kind of moved into the convent, and I let her wear the little outfit. She's a nice girl, former carny.
Former carny.
She's got nowhere to go, so I just, she fit in the clothes. So
there you go. Now,
it's kind of like the Sound of Music.
I was just sort of reading the backup on this event that you're planning out here. Now, the three of you, actually, you don't have a church anymore. You're living in your parents' home in Canaryville. Is that where?
Yeah, thank God they're in assisted living. I moved the three of us in there once they started pulling the church apart because where were we going to go? The street? I mean, that was it. The only other thing we've got is this old El Camino, that used to be a flower car for McInerney's funeral home. What, were we all going to sleep in the front seat? I don't think so.
So
we're living at the old house there in Canaryville, and it's working out okay, you know.
Where do you hold Mass, then, if you're at the house?
In the basement. We got we have like 9 Masses because we only have 8 chairs. That's all we could salvage out of St. Dymphna's building and basement. So it was a tough one. But you do what you got to do. And that's the hope. That's the hope that's always involved.
That's
always behind the mission is the hope.
Okay, so this is now, I want to get the details right here. You're doing Sister Bernie's Bingo Bash. This is taking place at the Greenway Court Theater. That's 544 North Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles. And
yes.
For people to come to this, I guess they have to buy some sort of ticket or something in order to get in to play the bingo game. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, and it's very nice because whether we like it or not, those people at the Greenway Court Theater, very nice people, but they need to run their theater too. Everybody has to put in a little bit into this thing.
Sure.
I'm only asking for a dime when they come in.
Oh, really?
But, you know, I mean, if they need that money, that's fine. That, you know, that's good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
throw a dime in the jar. That'll get you a ticket and a bingo card.
Oh, okay. So the people come to this particular event, and everyone in the audience actually plays bingo.
Oh, sure they
okay.
do. Of course they do.
All right. Now, how is the bingo game structured? Is it just like one or two games, or how does that work?
Oh, well, you know, I don't know if you know, we don't play bingo for money. You do know that, right?
Oh,
no, we play bingo according to seven deadly sins and there's seven opposite virtues.
Oh.
You know, most
oh.
people don't know there's a virtue. You know, they haven't got that figured out at all.
Okay, yeah, everyone knows the seven. Michael, do you know any of the opposite virtues? I mean, you can name a sin, right?
Yes, 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 but no virtues.
Well, give me a sin. Give me a sin. Lust is
lust
a big one.
Would be one.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing, Michael? Isn't that odd that every man says that first? Every single man. What are the deadly sins? Oh, lust. Every one of them hasn't got a clue. Do you know what the opposite virtue is to that, Michael?
I don't.
Do you have any idea?
Of course
you don't, because no one does.
All
no
right.
one does. It is chastity, Michael.
Chastity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
write
yes.
that down. Yeah.
Chastity.
You know what? Because some people just don't understand. You know, they just don't get it. And you know, let's face it. You know, you got to understand. If you can get into trouble, there's a way to get out. And those virtues are the way out.
Okay. So chastity
helps every single time.
Opposite. Lynn, do you know any of the seven deadly sins? Can you pull any off the top of your head? What is it? Lying? Is lying one?
Is sloth? What about
sloth?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Sloth. Very good.
What's the opposite?
Greed.
What's the opposite?
Greed.
What's the equal and
greed,
opposite yeah. virtue for sloth?
How about just getting out of that chair and doing something? How about that? Keeping busy.
Right.
That would work.
That would work probably. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, speaking of
and
greed.
Sister Charisse is busy all the time. Now she's another one. I'm telling you, she tied together 72 old plastic tablecloths to cover that El Camino to get the equipment in the car, and
really?
We're hoping that it makes it out there.
So when do you hit the road, Sister Bernie? You're leaving pretty soon.
Well,
I would
let's
imagine.
See. We're supposed to be there for December. November 30th, I believe. Is
November 30th.
We're going to have a little preview that day.
Right, preview November 30th.
So, you know, that'll be nice. November 30th, and then I believe we have December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Right, and
so
actually,
if we start out like last week, we'll probably be there on time.
Okay. In the El Camino.
You know, Sister Bernie, mm-hmm. May I just say, I'm looking at a lovely graphic of your event that's going to be held here in Los Angeles. And speaking of lust, this is a lovely photo of you. It really is. And,
oh.
and then, of course, it says Bingo Bash underneath it. And I notice there's something, subcell line that says Party Prizes, and in big red letters, Punishment.
Yeah, because you know what? That's the way it is, Michael. Sometimes at the party, there's punishment that comes along. It just happens that way.
But I agree with you.
And, you know, people learn. They all need to learn. That's all. And life is one big schoolroom, and we're just not done till we're done.
But I would agree, Sister Bernie, that's a fetching photograph.
It is.
It is.
It is.
It's a very attractive photograph. It really is.
Yeah, I wash and iron my own habit, you know.
You know what? That's
evident. I noticed that when Father Chuck left, though, and he was on his way, he left all of his clothes here in a ball by the front door. I don't know who he thinks is going to handle this mess.
Oh, wait. You know,
it's not going to be me.
I saw when you were raising funds in Chicago, I saw the Bingo Bash. And is he still wearing that beautiful salmon-colored jacket that he got at the
salmon.
Wink
who
Martindale?
Who wears salmon? Who wears a salmon jacket? He's convinced it belonged to Wink Martindale.
No, I believe he said that
crazy.
It was...
And his name is not Chuck either. It's Father Rocco Charles Martini.
But
he thinks Chuck sounds like a game show
But
host.
He does allow you to call him Chuck on bingo nights, though. That is
I guess so.
There.
And you know, we all have to bend.
Yes,
we all have to bend, Michael.
Yes.
We all have to bend, Paul. We all have to bend and go. I mean, I cannot do this alone.
Well, I'm telling
so
you, Sister Bernie, I'm looking...
with me.
I'm looking at this photo of you, and it tells me that you are not a person who bends. That you're a very sort of upright and respectable woman.
The rules are the rules.
The rules are the rules.
That's right.
Before we forget, reservations for Sister Bernie's Bingo Bash you can get by calling 323-960-4443. That's 323-960-4443. Or you can get tickets online at, that's tickets 411. I have the thing here, and I don't have the actual website for the tickets. Oh, here it is. Plays411.com/bingo bash. That's plays411.com/bingo bash. So you can go there to get your tickets to attend this and support St. Dymphna's Church, the Irish patron saint of mental disorders.
Wow, and who would have thunk that?
Yeah.
And did not know. And you know, Sister, myself and our other guest here today, Lynn Stanley, we both are Catholic and both went to the same high school, oddly enough, we've just discovered, out here in LA.
And you finished? Did you graduate?
Yes.
Oh, good. We both graduated. That's what I'm glad to hear that, because so many don't, Michael. They just don't.
They don't.
They go. They say they went there, but they never finished. So they're just out on the street, a bunch of thugs. Are either one of you in a gang?
Well, I don't think Lynn is, and I can't really speak for myself. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. You're in the right direction so far.
He had the Jesuits to work him.
Sister,
oh, well, there you go.
If you'll pardon that expression.
Sister, I'm not Catholic, actually. I'm one of the few Italian Protestants. My father converted from my mother, so I was actually I was raised Protestant. But so can I still attend?
Wow. That's a lot for you to reveal in a moment like this in front of how many millions of people are listening to you right now? That may never listen to you again.
Yeah.
They probably won't even eat lasagna without thinking about this moment again.
Oh, now that's a blanket statement about my Italian culture. I mean, I don't say that you're, just because your name is Wojciechowski-Konecki, that you're scarfing pierogies all the time, do I?
Well, maybe I am.
Okay, I'm gonna. All right.
You're gonna get a ruler on your knuckles.
I am gonna get a ruler on my knuckles.
No, we would never do that. No. There's no corporal punishment here at all. You'd have your attorney there in about 5 minutes. And I'll tell you, a lot of things happen at the bingo bash. I mean, we've had some disasters.
Oh, you know, yeah.
People don't think that it can happen at bingo.
Give us an example of one of the disasters that took place. Can you give us an example of
there
one
was
of those?
A fella, very nice fella. He was an attorney, thought he knew everything. He doesn't. He got very excited when he won the bingo game. Jumped up, running up, came up to me, and attempted to kiss me.
Mm. Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that'll never happen again.
Yeah.
That'll never happen again, I'll tell you what.
He
did apologize. I have to say this. He did apologize.
Before or after the next of kin were called?
Well, he thinks that because that apology is in order that he can send me the dental bill. And I just keep sending it right back. And I sent a prayer card, a St. Dymphna prayer card, because there's a mental disorder there, that's for sure.
That's true.
That'll never happen again.
Yeah, anyone who would attempt to kiss you is obviously half a bubble off plum, as they say.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, that would not. They just know.
A couple of fries short of a Happy Meal on that one.
That's right,
yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right.
Sister Bernie, I am.
We can't let it get away quite yet. There must be some. You know, there's a thing that we do, Sister, on our show with all of our guests, and that is a recall, perhaps, of, you know, you do these wonderful bingo bashes, it certainly sounds very entertaining, to say the least, but you must have had some sort of embarrassing, awkward moment other than the one that you just described, that you know, with someone that was playing the game. Anything come into mind? We love to have this little story from each of our guests. It kind of endears them to our audience.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of things that happen. So many things can go wrong sometimes, or things that just people just don't understand. There was a blind woman one time playing. Somebody was playing her card. Uh-huh. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, she's blind." I said, "Is she deaf?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, then she can hear the numbers. Give her the card." I mean, are people crazy? That woman knows she's blind.
Sister, I was at one of your bingo bashes in Chicago, and if I remember correctly, there were a lot of people there who were sort of in need of medical help. There was I saw like two canes and a wheelchair as I walked in.
Oh, that just drives me crazy. I said, "Where do they think they're going, Fatima?" I mean, come on. I said to Father Chuck one day, they get on a bus and they all think they're going to see the Blessed Virgin. Well, it isn't going to happen. And then he starts talking about her picture in that potato chip. And I told him it wasn't her.
Oh, the potato chip that looks like the Holy Mother.
Yeah, it's not. That is not her.
I have one that looks like Nixon. Can I bring that to the show?
I can believe that, yes. And I would like to see that potato chip.
I bet you would.
Have you got dip?
I do not, but I will certainly bring one if I know that you're there, sister.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It sounds like you're, what was that? Oh, that was.
That was, yes.
I was like, what are you... Michael's unwrapping cellophane here. I thought Sister Bernie had caught fire. It was sort of like a crackle fan.
Well, that's
what
impossible.
Is cellophane? What is in the cellophane?
What? Oh, just a lozenge. Lozenge. He's looking at this picture of you, sister, and he's so captivated by it. I think
it's taken his breath away. That happens to a lot of people.
Exactly. Well, sister, thank you so much for joining us on the air. We're delightful to have you here on State of the Arts, and we truly look forward to the Bingo Bash bashing Los Angeles.
And that's four bingos only, right?
Right.
Between November 30th.
Well, bingos only, so you have to make sure you get there.
Right.
And, you know, I thank you so much. I'm so glad you called today, but I really have to go. Okay. I'm packing the projector. I'm washing the bingo balls. It's a big day here for us.
I know it's a loaded question, sister, but how does one wash the bingo balls?
With tiny sponges, Paul. Who told you to ask me that? Did Michael say that you should ask me a question
that?
No, he did
not.
I certainly did.
Tiny sponges and a lot of holy water, Paul.
Okay. Thank you, sister. Once again, plays411.com/bingobash. That's plays411.com/bingobash. The phone number for tickets, 323-960-4443. This is Sister Bernie's Bingo Bash, playing November 30th through December 3rd, four shows only at the Greenway Court Theater. That's 544 North Fairfax in beautiful Los Angeles, California. And there's a big parking lot next door.
Nice. And the weather's pretty nice out here, sister.
It is. It beats the hell out of Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, did I just say H-E-double?
Yeah, you sure did.
Give
yourself a good crack in the mouth right now.
I will. Thank you, sister. We'll see you in a week.
You're welcome. We'll see you soon. Take care, all of you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, sister.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.
The lovely and talented sister, Bernadette Wyjakonowska-Netsky.
Wow.
Yeah, I got it down.
Yeah. Because, I actually did get my knuckles hit with the ruler by Sister Catherine Sienna in grade school.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, when you two were in high school together and you were in a Catholic high school, was there any corporal punishment by that point?
No.
I mean, nothing?
No.
Mm-mm.
Sneers.
Sneers?
Yeah, sneers. Yeah. You would get a sneer from a nun. That would be punishment.
We had Mother Rosary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mother Rosary? Her name was Mother?
Mother Rosary.
Mother Superior. Rosary.
Mother Superior. And we had a very unusual dean by the name of Mr. Moreno.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dino Moreno. Yeah. He's a great dancer.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he probably was, now that I think of it. But
a woman I knew from Connecticut when I went to high school with her daughter, and she was saying that she went to Catholic school, and there was a very, very attractive priest, and they used to call him Father What a Waste, because he was just so good-looking, and it was just like, Father What a Waste.
Yeah.
Monica went to a Catholic girls' school, and she said when her brothers were younger, mm-hmm. and that... The brothers had those wiffle ball bats that they would wrap them with. You know, those plastic...
Oh, yeah, with the holes in them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm saying I'm not surprised.
But that doesn't surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise
me. It's a different world. It is a different world.
Yeah, no, and it's very, they try to scare you into, doing what they say is the right thing to do.
And it works most of the time.
It did then. It did then. I told you my famous story, right?
No.
This is true. I think I thought I had told it on the show before. I was all of 11 years old or so, and I was serving Mass, very proud altar boy that I was. And Sunday Mass, of course, my family is all out in front. It's like doing a show. That's what I thought, right? And I go, before the Mass started, went backstage, or went behind, the altar. Backstage. And
I didn't want to call you on that, Michael. I was going to let that go.
Went to prepare the The beautiful silver tray that was holding the chalice and a towel and some water for the priest to be able to wash his hands before he started to deal with the host, you know, for communion, for that section of the Mass. And I couldn't find a clean towel that was dry, because this was the last Mass of the day, so everything else that had been used in the other four Masses that day were damp and or used and wrinkled towels. I had no choice. I took the one that was the least damp, spread it out, tried to get all the wrinkles out, folded it up the way that it should be, put it on this silver tray, and took everything else, all the other accoutrements out, and I make my appearance, you know, from stage left, and I'm coming onto the center of the altar, go up to him, you know, like I'm out of a production of Oliver, you know, and hold this thing, hold the tray, up to him, and he rolls up his sleeves of his outfit there and his costume or
vestments.
What are
they called?
Vestments.
Yes.
Don't want to throw you. Yeah. The Protestant doesn't want to throw you with the Catholic jargon there.
A long time ago. And he starts to, put the water on his hands, and he starts to clean his hands, and he reaches for the towel. The towel is wet. He is furious. I saw the sneer in the eyes, and he took the towel, and he slapped me across the face with it.
Wow.
In front of the whole congregation.
Wow.
And my family. I was mortified. You know, I would turn, you know, six shades of red. And I, you know, hung my head, and I left and took it off to backstage. And then I came back, and I was speechless. I didn't even know what to say. Mm-hmm. And he read me the riot act after the Mass.
And did you explain to him?
Of course I did, but yeah. it wasn't... He didn't want to hear it.
Right,
that was
right.
The bottom line.
Oh, man.
So, you know what? I kind of resigned after that point as being an altar boy. I was just, I was so embarrassed by, you know, so many, you know, a couple hundred people in church, right?
Yeah, no, that's humiliation.
Yeah.
That's humiliation.
It was silly.
That's objectification. That's humiliation. Yeah.
But,
those days are hopefully gone.
Well, I hope so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, here we
go. Because the only time I was in a Catholic church, the only time that I was in there, there was a altar boy on stage who got smacked in the face with a towel, and I was like, "This
poor
is
guy.
Real. What are the odds
poor
of that happening?"
Guy. I know how it feels. Yeah, terrible.
But the towel was wet, little brat monster.
Oh man, yeah.
But I will say that altar boy was dressed impeccably, but his constant humming of "Under the Sea" was very distracting.
Well, oh, poor guy.
I'm sorry.
Shall we pay attention to
our
live arts calendar?
Please, sir. Could I have a host?
Exactly.
Please, sir.
You want a host? But this towel is whipped.
I think you're first up here, sir.
I am. All right. Next Fall, which has already won widespread critical acclaim nominations for the 2010 Tony Award for Best Play, Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Play, Outer Critics Circle Award for Outstanding New Broadway Play, makes its West Coast debut at the Geffen Playhouse with Jeffrey Nofitz. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
The show's playwright as its co-star. The plot? Adam and Luke seem like a case of opposites attract. Adam is older, neurotic, and an atheist. Luke is impulsive, a struggling actor, and a devout Christian. However, after Luke is involved in a critical accident, family and friends descend upon the couple, and these long-time differences collide, forcing opposing views on faith and family into a standoff. As timely as it is touching, the play exposes the fundamental truth that we love people both because of and in spite of who they are. Don't miss it on stage at the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles now through December 4th. That's next fall.
Sounds fascinating.
It does.
Yeah. The critically acclaimed Glendale Center Theater in Glendale, California, now in its 64th year as the longest continually operating theater in the United States, completes its 2011 season with its annual breathtaking production of the Charles Dickens classic A Christmas Carol, November 25th through December 24th. Glendale Center Theater Artistic Director Tim Dietlein directs a cast of 27 in what has become a regionally acclaimed adaptation by co-producer Brenda Dietlein, who weaves text from the 1843 story into the script narration, in which ghosts remind stingy mercenary Ebenezer Scrooge that mankind should be his business. A haunting reminder to everyone, Dickens' Christmas Carol is a redemption which seeks to reclaim Scrooge's heart, and its song elevates us all. Dietlein's Christmas Carol is not a musical necessarily, but does incorporate original songs and carol arrangements. So experience the holiday season with Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, replete with a post-show snowfall in front of the theater.
That is, they really do it up there. They
they transform the entire theater into this winter wonderland, and snowing outside.
I love
when you
that
come
venue.
Out of
the Glendale Center theater. Have you ever seen anything there at the Glendale Center theater? It's an amazing space. It's all in the round, and it's just like, and I imagine that it's decked out because it was decorated beautifully, and it wasn't even a seasonal thing when we were there for 1776.
That's right.
It looks great.
That's right.
And then I imagine at Christmas time, it just looks fantastic.
It is. It's a 400 seat theater in the round.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow.
New Orleans kind of style edifice.
Yeah, that's it. That was the
very,
style,
very charming. And I did want to have a
shout-out review, don't you?
Yes, for James
Before
Mulligan.
Before we talk to Lynn.
Yeah, musical theater star James Mulligan, ladies and gentlemen, here in Los Angeles. I had the pleasure of producing him last night at my supper club, Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City. And James brought in a fine show and sang many of the songs from shows that he has starred in, such as Jekyll and Hyde and Miss Saigon. He has a wonderful, wonderful soaring voice. He had terrific guest stars, two in particular, by the names of Juliana Henson from the Disney World, and also from the Disney World, one of the most respected and award-winning, accomplished songwriters ever in the history of Disney motion pictures, Richard Sherman.
Oh, Richard Sherman, like Mary Poppins, Richard.
That's
Sherman.
Right.
Yeah.
And he also,
If even I know his work, he's pretty damn famous.
Also wrote, Chitty Chitty, the score to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Watch Your Language.
And a song that is universally known by its title alone, It's a Small World After All, among other
things. We can forgive him for that one.
And he's laughing his way to the bank.
Oh,
that,
I'm sure.
But he's a lovely, lovely man, and he did two numbers at the end of the show. With
James. Did he?
Yes,
performed
he did.
Too.
He performed Walt Disney's favorite song, which Mr. Disney, at the beginning of every meeting that Mr. Sherman had with him in his career, Walt would say, all he would say is play it, and he would say the first time, he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "My favorite song, play it," and it was Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins.
Oh, wow.
So that's how all their meetings began. So Walt had to hear that.
What a historic thing for people to attend.
It was. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house, really, except maybe Sharon's. I don't know. But, when he did sing that song, it was quite a moment in the room.
That sounds it.
And it was beautiful. Yeah, so it was a nice day. And so congratulations, James, for bringing in a great show. And Mr. Sherman, thank you. And Juliana, I know that you're home ill today, so thank you for being such a pro last night. And that was my my weekend.
All right. Well, for further information about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts live calendar, visit us during the week at stateoftheartsla.com. We also suggest you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events every day of the week. And now, thank you for being so patient, Lynn, and sticking around with us. We're delighted to talk to you. Directed by Broadway Tony Award nominee Sharon McKnight, with Broadway and television's Emmy Award-winning Karen Morrow serving as creative consultant, the all-new concert club act Making Whoopee, which plays Sunday, November 27th, highlights our next guest's diverse life as a competitive pro-am ballroom dance champion through stories and songs with musical director Bill Schneider, best known for his work with such singers as Madonna, Bette Midler, Janice Paige, and Nancy DeSalt. Please welcome the beautiful Miss Lynn Stanley.
Hello.
You can let this go.
Thank you.
So, it's a shame that this director who's helping you with this couldn't have worked with any talented people. just looking at this list here, it's just like a who's who. Michael knows you, but I only know you from the phone. We've had phone conversations, but
I was going to say that.
What?
That sounded odd, but go ahead.
And by the way, I got to give you my credit card number. But it's a pleasure meeting you. And if I could begin by asking you a question, because I always like to ask cabaret performers this, because I so respect the art form, and anything that I could never do in a million years, I love even more. And my question is, how do you arrive at your narrative for that hour? Was it all your choice? Did the director have something to say? How did you come up with the sequence?
Well, it started out being a little bit of some training that I'd gotten at Yale. gave me the pro forma of what we needed to do.
Okay.
And after that, they asked us to do that for one song when we actually sang it at Yale. And of course, you know that I attended the Yale, the cabaret training, it's called the cabaret conference at Yale University.
Oh, okay.
And it was an open call, and I was one of 27 selected from around the world.
It's a very, very select, prestigious. Yeah, very
really?
Prestigious thing to be selected for.
Yeah, and there were great Broadway people that were the teachers there. There were about 11 of them, including Tova Felshen, Amanda wow. McBroom, Sally Mays, who just finished doing
The Doris Day Show. I mean, not the Doris Day Show, but The Life of Doris Day.
Yeah, it was
a sentimental journey.
Yeah, and another one too, Play It Cool, I think is the one that she just finished doing. But anyway, with that help, I knew that it would be needed. So when I came up with the idea of the show and the songs that I would include in it, because I wanted to do songs that were all based on my ballroom experience, and Sharon helped me. Sharon McKnight came up with some ideas on how to structure it. And it didn't quite feel right on some of it, and I went back and wrote her what I thought I could say. And so now it's not scripted, but I've got some key points. I've asked Karen Morrow what she thought of some of the things I wrote. And, you know, it's culling, a lot of culling.
Right,
as you go,
right.
You start big and work down to things that are important.
Distill it down,
and things that are important because you need in cabaret to relate it to your own life experience. And that's where the hard part comes sometimes. And why you want to sing that song, that it's got to have a relationship with to you.
Yeah. I mean, when I wrote this piece a while ago, and my friend Jeff Ayers, who's one of the greatest writers I know, brilliant guy, he said, you know, when you're writing something or assembling something, banter in between, because you have to be prepared to discard your favorite thing. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't fit the format of what it is you're doing or the mood you're trying to, because it is a performance after all. I mean, it can be autobiographical, but it has to also be entertaining, and that's your obligation to the audience. Yeah. So I always find that you know, you really have to sacrifice a lot when you tell your own story, because it's also the vulnerability factor too of, you know,
huge.
Sharing your own.
Yeah.
What's the old adage of, you know, someone told me once, a one person show is standing on stage naked and turning around slowly. Just like, I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah, that's great.
But
I remember that.
And now you've seen shows at Sterling's upstairs.
Yes, I've seen two now. But one was a jazz program, and then I saw last night's performance as well.
It's a great room, isn't
it? Oh my God, I felt so much in. It's a heavenly place.
Yeah,
it's got a comfort level that's extremely good. I was able to introduce the show down on Palm Desert at the Joshlin Center, and this is going to be an entirely different experience for me. It was a little bit colder there. This is very warm and fuzzy. It's like being in someone's living room.
Yeah, no, it's very. I love the dynamics of the room. I love the sound of the room. The way that the new lighting that's come in, the actual stage lighting that they had, because I mean, when Michael started it out, it was just regular like dining room, like
well, it was just a spotlight.
It was just one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was almost like, you know, what time was the prison break and how many made it over the wall, basically, was the feeling of it. But the booths up on the perimeter that are elevated like that, I love the dynamic of that room. You've really done a good job with it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, a lot of blood, sweat, equity in that room, and 6 years later, and here we are. So you never know, right?
Yeah, it's a great room for the purpose of what I'm going to be doing.
Well, no. Lynn, it's going to be tough with the dancing, though. It's a little tight for that.
And there's carpet on the stage.
Well, you're just going to do the tabletop thing, right?
But we, you know, without revealing it, that you actually will see Lynn dance in this show.
Oh.
Yes, I'm going to actually demonstrate a 3-minute video of my ballroom win in 2010.
Oh, really?
And it'll be with a partner that I had, and it's going to show excerpts from, I think, 4 or 5 dances.
Oh, right, because you got the screen right there.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which is
lovely.
It'll be fun.
And, you know, before you were a ballroom competitor, you've had an interesting life. You were in business. You were a consultant to Fortune 500 companies.
And yes.
Tell us about that. I mean, how did you come from we've established your Catholic background, obviously, and you've got good education.
But we've done religion. Now do labor.
It says that you began a 10-year working career in major advertising agencies and handling some top brands, including Universal Studios, Hilton Hotels, Mattel Toys.
Yeah.
That's some pretty heady stuff there.
It was great. It was a wonderful experience. I had the chance to be on the account executive side, so I was managing the business end. And great training ground. My one of my favorite stories in that time was when I was managing Universal Studios, MGM.
Mm-hmm.
Not MGM. What did they call it? It's
in Florida?
No. Universal Studios has an amphitheater that we have here in town, but they also own properties as well up in the Yosemite area. So I managed everything pretty much on the advertising side that they would do around that. But we had to go into their headquarters and present our advertising campaigns. And I can remember Jerry Weintraub.
Yes.
He was one of that was approving the things that we brought in. And I remember he had a big, huge, huge desk. And one time I got kind of close to the side of it.
That was dangerous right there.
I got close to show him something, and he went, "Gep, stand back." I thought we could read upside down, I guess. I don't know.
he violated his personal space?
And it was a big desk. It was huge. So I,
really? He said that?
Pretty wild. But anyway, I did as I combed around back in those days. I would go around the lot because we handled the attraction. Mm-hmm. The Universal Studios attraction and all the commercials that were made for it, we managed those and all the actors that we would hire. But I did get asked for my autograph every now and then if they thought I was a star roaming around there. So maybe that was my introduction to coming into what I'm doing now.
Well, you certainly look like one. You could certainly be mistaken for one.
Absolutely.
Michael, tell them how they can get tickets for this thing before we forget. Not that the conversation's over, but definitely get that information
out
there.
It's very simple. You know, we harken back to the days of, we like to think, class, when it wasn't so complicated to go somewhere, and all you had to do was pick up a telephone and call.
Now, what's this telephone thing?
Exactly. call to make a reservation. And that number to call for Lynn Stanley's Making Whoopee at Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City is 818-754-8700. That is this Sunday, November 27th. Treat yourself. Get out of the house. You've had the turkey. You've done all the things that you need to do with Thanksgiving. And come and see a fabulous show, because I promise you, she's a gorgeous lady with a beautiful voice, and it will be just that. And maybe, Paul, maybe we can treat our listening audience to a little bit of...
Yes, we
Lynn.
Can. We can do
you
that
think?
Very much so.
Can we
Let's
do that?
Throw a little Lynn Stanley on the turntable.
The title of her show, again, Making Whoopee, and this is the title song.
And this would be the title track.
Another bride, another June, another sunny honeymoon. Another reason for making whoopee. A lot of shoes, a lot of rice. The groom is nervous, he answered twice. It's really killing that he's so willing to make whoopee.
A little sampling of Lynn.
A little sampling, and we'll have more of a sampling when Lynn will let you play us off the air. So at the end of it, we'll pick that up right where it left off.
Absolutely.
Hear that.
Lynn, there must have been somebody responsible for bringing you kind of into this world of cabaret.
True.
Tell me about it.
Yes. I actually got hooked up coincidentally with Paul T. Smith, who was Ella Fitzgerald's piano accompanist for over 11 years, and he's did this. Accompanied Sammy Davis Jr., Sarah Vaughan, Anita O'Day is a big jazz guy, over 50 albums. But anyway, I met him, and his wife is Annette Warren, and Annette is the voice of Ava Gardner in the movie Showboat. Annette teaches vocals, and at the time, my mother had suggested I get into a church choir, and so I wondered if I could sing, and I went to Annette, and I went to Paul. I met him at a concert that he was at, and had the chance to see him again at another time, and went up and gave him my business card and asked him if he would forward that to his wife. And he said, sure, I'll do that. And so I had Two days later, I got a call.
I'm sure you probably get your way when you ask a man to do something for you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, it happened, and she called, and she tested me, and then she said, "And you don't think you can sing?" I said, "I don't know." So from that point, 4 months later, they had, with Annette's training, I was on stage with Paul singing 4 songs and inside of a concert that they had put on. It was really miraculous. And I used a clip from, I had videoed it, and I used a clip from that to use to get into the auditions for the cabaret training program at Yale, which is how I got accepted there. And then...
And I must say one little thing regarding Yale. One of her coaches there was Julie Wilson, the great jazz singer Julie Wilson.
The list of names of people that you have been associated with just in this little, it's a testament to how gifted you must be, because you don't get these people orbiting you unless you really have something.
Exactly.
List of names.
Exactly. Miss Wilson described her as a great performer destined to be a star.
Yep, she did.
Which is a pretty sweet compliment coming from that lady.
She's a doll.
Yes,
I talked to her even today. I call her, and she's just what an amazing cabaret training person. Mm-hmm. She really has you feel what you're doing. She teaches for real when she's back at Yale. And I know she's older, but she's still hanging in there doing it.
Wow.
And
Well, they don't make people like that anymore. You know, it's like the Rosemary Clooney's of the world, and you know that I'm quite smitten there with Miss Clooney and others like her, Patty Page, and any of those ladies. We talked about Doris Day earlier. Oh. You know, she was an astounding artist who was actually, I understand, by the record industry, proclaimed the most. Her voice was so pitch perfect that she was the most recordable voice in records.
Well, she's actually brilliant. I bring her into my show. Doris Day is built into my show. So I'm doing Love Me or Leave Me. Not only have I been surrounded by Paul and all of these wonderful people at the Yale program, but I'm also now working for jazz interpretation with Tamir Hendelman, who is the latest and greatest and the young jazz piano accompanist, who just finished doing a PBS program with that was aired recently with Barbara Streisand as her accompanist. And then he just finished coming back from Europe and working with, I think he went to Russia and worked with Natalie Cole. And there's a show that'll be airing down the line with he and her. So
nice.
I see him at least once or twice a month, and he's done 5 of my arrangements.
And arrangements of such songs in her set, I'm looking at her lovely set list, More Than You Know, Hernando's Hideaway, which is a great Broadway song, actually, from Pajama Game.
Pajama Game, yeah.
Yep.
And also One for My Baby, The Man I Love. These are all killer songs, Lynn. Arthur, you're doing, which...
I've changed the lyrics on Arthur, and I've turned him into Arthur Murray, not Arthur in the Afternoon. It's really funny. I hope you laugh at it when you hear it. I've done some creative move there. But I'm introducing a song that has never been heard before in the United States. I heard it at Yale by one of the students from England. It's written by a gentleman who was 27 at the time.
Wow.
His name is Michael Bruce, and it's called Not in a Disney Way. It puts a whole new feel towards the Disney princess characters.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's hilarious. If I can remember the lyrics, it's going to be on the slate.
It's good.
It's a really long lyric song, but it's funny.
It's nice to have that mixed in with the standards, though. It's nice
to
have that little... It's sort of like you have the beautiful meal of the standards, and you have these little seasonings of gravy, of comedic gravy on that. I think that's great.
We're not quite done with you yet, but I do want to remind everyone, ladies and gentlemen, to see Lynn Stanley's Makin' Whoopee this Sunday, November 27th, at Sterling's Upstairs at Botello's in Studio City, which, by the way, you can find out all the details, really, by going to www.msapr, and you'll see a drop-down menu. Just click on Sterling's at Botello's. It'll give you all the information you need, but you do need to make a reservation, and it is easy to do by calling 818-754-8700. Dinner seating is between 5:30 and 6, showtime at 7 p.m. We cannot wait to have it.
And hugely important element in the city that we live in, valet parking is available.
Yes,
I feel the need to tell people that.
At a very affordable price, I might add.
Well, you know, I need to make some extra money. So, I don't charge very much. And then I rent out the back seats while people are eating. But I do.
A good-looking back park in your car. And taking care of your back seat, polishing your back seat at the same time.
All right.
So, Lynn.
Lynn, what we always do, we only have about 2 minutes, but do you have a story of some disastrous thing, comedic thing that happened to you on stage or in performance that would enter you in the hallowed halls of our comedic...
Take your time.
I had no idea I was going to upset her, Michael. I made her cry. This has never happened.
Sorry.
She's still upset about Bernie's phone call.
The whole
Catholic thing came back to the surface.
It reared its ugly head, as it often does in my life.
And this may be
it. You know what? If you can't, you know what?
Well, I was doing a radio show and I got tuberculosis.
True, I'm so sorry. All I can tell you is that in the it hasn't happened in singing yet, but in dancing, my costume has fallen apart.
Ah.
And when you begin on the floor, if you're not there, the show goes on.
Right.
Wow.
And
you have to deal with it. You can't
the
stop.
Crotch was gone, the back was gone on the dress. It was just a mess trying to figure out what to do.
However, the audience stayed.
Yeah. Oddly enough, called for an encore. Which is
just hilarious.
Because even in ballroom dancing, I love it when the women are underdressed with another dress. That doesn't happen all the time, I know, but and the have you ever seen that? Yeah, I'm sure.
The quick change, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just done during the dance, you know.
The tearaway.
Oh,
yeah.
My, yeah. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
I like that, too, but more in my private life.
Yeah.
Oh,
back seat of someone's car. Who knows?
I did want to, if it's good, I'd like to just make mention that we are donating a portion of the funds.
Absolutely. Good point.
Yeah, I'm everywhere I sing, I will always give to a local drug education program for teens or children.
Okay.
I was able to donate to Betty Ford's Children's Program in Palm Desert, and I'm going to be doing it for Visions Adolescents. What is it, Michael? It's
Adolescents in Action,
program.
Substance Abuse Education.
Education.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
All right, good. Michael, do you have a website there, or should we put it on our website for the
following? Yeah, we'll put it on our website.
We'll do that. Well, yeah. They need all the focus that they can get.
Yeah.
We have to go, because our hour is up. But
Lynn,
it's a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
And we'll get to hear a little more.
And thanks to Sister Bernie.
To Sister Bernie, and we'll let Lynn play us off the air with the title of her show at Sterling's Making Whoopee. And we will see you all next week.
Folks, for making another year, or maybe less. What's this I hear? Well, can't you guess? She feels neglected, and he's suspected of making whoopee. She sits alone most every night. He doesn't phone, he doesn't write. He says he's busy. She says, is he? He doesn't make much money.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.